Welcome to Pet Sitter Confessional. Today, we're brought to you by Time to Pet and Pet Perennials. What does it really mean to make a business our own? How do we adapt it and shape it and mold it to prioritize ourselves? Today, we're really excited to have Shannon Hendon, founder of Ocala Pet Sitting, on the show. She shares how some very serious challenges to her personal life made her take a second look at her business and begin shaping it so that it served her as opposed to the other way around. She also encourages us to dive into our local community to start forging relationships to help make everybody better. Let's get started.
Well, hi, Colin. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited to speak with you. So my business is Ocala Pet Sitting. I've been in business 18 years now this year, and Ocala is in North Central Florida. We specialize in cat sitting and midday dog walking, and I'm also the regional director for FPSA, the Florida Pet Services Association, which is somewhat of a newer association, and I'm so excited to be a part of it. I am on the Education and Philanthropy Committee, and I'm really passionate about learning from others and networking and making connections. So that's pretty much me.
Pretty much just been in business for 18 years and doing all sorts of things. So, right. been in business for coming up, 18 years now. What got you started initially?
So I was one of those going to vet school. I had four young kids. I was in vet school, pre-vet, and it came down to the year that I had to make the decision of applying for vet school. And I had some life things with my kids becoming teenagers and some health things where I decided not to apply. And I was really kind of depressed about it for a bit. And someone out of the blue suggested to me, you can still work with animals, right? I see these people out here like walking dogs and stuff. And it just switched on for me. I ran to the library at that time. I wasn't really on the internet much. I got Patty Moran's book, Pet Sitting for Profit, and I read it in a day, had a website the next day, and I was like started, and I just immediately was passionate about it. I did not think I'd still be doing it all this time. I don't know if I really thought about the future of it. I just knew I was excited to work with animals. But I'm here still doing it, and I still love it.
What was it about that book maybe that triggered that into you to make you think it was possible and that you could jump in like that?
I was like most of the public, really unaware that it was even a thing, that it was an actual profession. I also have always been like an entrepreneur at heart. So for me, that was like, yes, I can do this. Immediately, everything she said in her book resonated with me, and I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, there becomes part of us where we find that, and all of a sudden we realize, I think just like you mentioned, oh, this is possible, right? This is doable. And then we get to figure out how do we do that? And what part of us do we get to pour into this and grow from there? So what did you latch on to immediately? Was it the pet care? Was it the meeting the people? Or was it, I know a lot of people really do like the business side of things. I personally would rather not have to do those. But, what aspect, or has that changed for you over the years too?
It has changed, and like you said, it's been really a journey figuring that out, and it changes as my life changes, right? But the main core thing, I think, is I love being an entrepreneur. I have like this free spirit and creativity that I get to create different things in my business, and, I'm not constrained by others. And, in the past few years, I thought it was all about working with the animals, which I'm absolutely love. But I realized that this business really fulfills my like deep desire to help people. And when I have clients, especially my senior clients, who their parents are very senior and they have, to run away for an emergency and they're already established, they are so thankful when we come in and can help, you know, relieve their anxiety of leaving their cat or what have you. And I realized that that's what does it for me. I love being able to help them. And in this way, and by me helping them, I'm also helping myself because I get to care for the animals, which is just like the biggest cherry on top ever. So yeah, it's my favorite. I love helping people.
It is in that sense, such a simple act of, no, I'll take care of it, right? No, you go take care of your mom or, you know, or your dad who fell or the health emergency that you're having. Don't worry. It sounds so easy and we'll take care of the rest. But we all know the immense hard work, the passion, the dedication it takes to actually pull that off. But it starts at such a simple of no, I can take this burden from you and you don't have to think about this. And we've had those clients too who have said, man, I don't know what I would have done without you guys because I had to leave. Like I booked you while I was on the plane to get to the emergency. And if I didn't have that, I either wouldn't have left or I would just have to leave them inside. And we don't think about that from the inside a lot of times of, oh, we're coming over to take care of pets. But the burden it relieves people of is absolutely immense.
Yeah. And when, you know, I was younger and started this, I hadn't had those personal emergency experiences myself to even know that was a need out there for people. And now that I'm older and have had more, you know, personal, you know, emergencies in life, I can see it from the other side. But I didn't know at the time. And it's developed, you know, this awareness for myself that I'm really helping people in this way. And I really have the chills about it because it is so simple, but it's such a huge gift that we can give people.
It is. And you mentioned the, you know, as we get some more experience of our own, we can connect a bit deeper with these feelings, with these emotions, with these needs. As they come up, what kind of things have happened maybe for you that over the past 18, 20 years that have made that more relevant for you each day?
Sure. So I talk about this quite a bit in my with other pet sitters because it's kind of the thing is we never think something's going to happen to us. And 8 years ago, I became very sick. And I kept pet sitting through it, of course, you know, I'm dedicated. I'm going to show up, you know, no matter what. I didn't have a team. I was solo. It developed into a life, you know, crisis where I was dying. And I had a lung surgery to remove a major part of my lungs. And I barely lived through that. Meanwhile, my daughter was in her early 20s at the time, and she did help with my business, but it dwindled down as I recovered. My recovery was quite long as well, over a year. So when I started thinking about what do I want to come back from this and how do I want my business to, you know, grow from here, or do I want to keep my business? I really started thinking about what that meant for me. And it really, you know, almost dying like really changes your outlook on life and also, of course, my business. So at that time, I decided, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to have a team and I'm going to have support. I didn't have really a lot of support other than my daughter. But when I got better, she decided to move. So it was all on me again. And I said, I'm going to do this. And that's really when I joined Facebook groups and things and started learning of other ways to run this type of business. And it really, you know, blossomed and opened my mind to it and started networking and finding ways that I could support myself, but also support my clients if I had another crisis, you know. It really put it in my face. Also, so, you know, I developed that team and that was wonderful. And then about 5 years after that, a few years ago, my husband had a major stroke and I had to be taken away, you know, from my business. And that team model I had set up, like, it worked. It supported me. It was amazing. But through his now disability, he can't work anymore. It's really changed my priorities for the business because now here I'm, you know, the sole breadwinner. And it's not just, you know, fun or support anymore. It's on me. And even though my team and my network and everyone were really supportive, you know, on the business side, then I learned that I really needed to prioritize myself and my own health and, you know, my own mental health going through all of that. Because here I was, came back from my own health crisis, we're going strong, and then it happened to my husband. So now we have to rewrite it again. What am I going to do? You know, I need to be around more. I can't do, you know, late nights and super early mornings anymore, and how much work I'm putting into all this. So that's when I really started, out of selfish need, developing a stronger network of other professionals around me, just to support me, I guess, emotionally, but also what they gave me was so much more. And they really, I say, like, they really saved my life at that time and got me through some really hard times in my life and my business.
So, that's a lot.
That's a lot to unpack. Yes, it is. I know. I'm sorry to throw all that out. It is a lot. I realize.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. and especially, you know what, when you started off talking about where you were 7-8 years ago of, I've got to do this, I'm just going to bust through, I'm going to make this, I always show up, it's all on me. And that is such a mindset that we all have. Like, and we all will say at some point, they're pets, they're living things. We have to show up. That we put that on ourselves, and the strain that we go through, the torment that we take ourselves through, every process, and we think, well, this is fine, until it's not. And if we have never thought about the fact that it might not be okay one day, we'll be left in a lurch, right? And we'll be left going, oh, I didn't think this was possible. Like you said, like, well, you kind of have that experience one time of, and it could be anything. I mean, for you, like having a huge portion of your lung removed, like that's, I don't know how you came back from that, knowing that you had the kind of work on the other side to go into.
Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, I mean, and I have wonderful husband, family that, you know, got me through that in itself. And it was beautiful, life-changing, you know, experience at this point. You know, I can say, and my clients that, you know, stuck with me, they were so wonderful and they still check on me. But it did also create new criteria, I would say, for my business. You know, the lung thing, like I can't go into, you know, certain situations where there's too much ammonia from cat litter. Like, you know, it has to be a cleaner situation, you know. So I had to kind of change my business model really around my needs and my family's needs.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that prioritization of what do I need to do? And you mentioned that a couple of times of like, what are my priorities? How am I doing this? Why? I don't, you know, you're there after suffering this surgery, you know, and you said you had to decide whether you wanted to come back or what you wanted to come back to. What was it that made you decide, okay, no, I still want to move forward with this? Cause honestly, if I don't know if I would have made that decision, Jan, I probably would have been like, well, 9 to 5 back to me. Cause this is too much.
Yeah, I mean, and I did consider it. And I will say that, you know, before that, even I did have other drives and try other jobs. You know, I'm a little bit of a scientist at heart. And I worked in a lab. And, you know, I did all these other jobs and tried other careers. And I just keep coming back to pet sitting and my client, the love of my clients and the love of working with the animals, you know, even the tough cases, you know. I just love it that much that I've tried to give it up and I can't. Like, it's just in me. I just am a pet sitter, yeah. Like for life, I guess. you know, and even after the pandemic, after going through all that, I was like, well, am I going to have to try a 9 to 5? And I'm like, this is like, I can't even fathom it. Like, I can't do it. And even if I don't pet sit, I will work in the pet sitting industry in some way. Like, it's just in me now. And I just am, I love everybody I meet. You know, I love my clients, like truly. Some of them are just, they're so wonderful. So that's me.
Well, you mentioned how, you know, your own personal health scare made you develop a team, start doing that. And you mentioned that also when your husband had his health issues and is now a disability, that changed, I guess, was that, is that how you changed how you viewed your business or the seriousness that you took it? Or what kind of changes did you make after going through that?
I realized that, well, him and I are both getting older and, you know, we're not old yet, but you know, I'm slowing down a little bit, Colin, and you know, all these, you know, 20, you know, 18, 15, 12 visits a day, I can't do it anymore, you know? And I, you know, with going to some conference and stuff and talking to other pet sitters and hearing the other changes people made after the pandemic, I really realized that, you know, the vacation pet sitting side of my business was really wearing me down and I wasn't loving it anymore. And I, at the same time in the past, you know, since I came back really from my surgery, became more and more in love with the cat sitting side of my service. But I didn't really, I didn't have the confidence or think that it was possible to have a cat only business until I really heard from other business owners that were doing it. And then I had that other moment like, okay, I can do this. Like it, you know, it might be a little rough transition at first, but so I just wanted a business that would make me happy and excited to go wake up every morning and do it again. And, you know, after a long time, some things do get dull, you know, so, you know, but also the ability to network with others also gave me the confidence that I could start a cat only business or specializing in cats because I have all these other wonderful, you know, dog sitters in my network that I can refer to. And, you know, through mentoring with them and everything, I have such trust in them and their experience with the dogs that, you know, I was able to have the confidence to make that change in my business.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's a change that I know a lot of people are really looking at and asking, is that for me? Can I do that? And it's scary. I mean, the vacation visits, that's what, I don't know, majority or whatever, but a lot of people do the 3-a-days, the 4-a-days for 2-3 weeks at a time. And it is, I don't think, again, like the weird things part of our industry, like, I don't think people really realize just how grueling that actually is and how unrelenting it is on, and the drain that it takes on us and the toll it takes on staff of, no, 6 a.m. So we always 6 a.m., you know, always 9:30 at nights or whatever schedule we set. Like, it is a lot to do. And we have to decide, we get to decide. It gets back to that creativity that you started talking about at the beginning, Shannon, of like, why do you do this? Because you get to be creative. You get to go, is that for me? Okay. If it's not, first off, we have to know it's okay to ask that question. It's safe to ask that question. And many times we fear that because we're kind of worried what we're actually going to answer, but just going,
yes,
right? It's like, yes. Oh no, I may actually not want this, but I feel dedicated to this. And so, then we get to go, how would I do that? And so when you made that transition, Shannon, I mean, reaching out to clients, explaining to people, you know, how much time did that process take?
Really? I mean, it took a while, but what I noticed was I was for probably 2 years before I, you know, made the official announcement jump and changed everything. I was naturally starting to say no to more and more vacation clients and becoming more restrictive on, you know, their location or how difficult they were. You know, I was naturally tired from, you know, having to, you know, be a caretaker for my husband and stuff. So I was naturally kind of saying more yes to these cat clients, and I had it in the back of my mind sort of. But the actual transition, when I finally made the decision, I'm doing this, like, my husband was terrified. He told me, he was like, I don't know if you should be doing this. You know, initially my vacation was probably 90% or more of my business was just vacation clients. And, but by the time I naturally started, you know, some clients moved away, the vacationers, and I started saying more yes to the cats, I was more closer to maybe 60-40, you know, 60% vacation, 40% cats. So that was still kind of a jump. But I also created, you know, some new services, some higher end services to support that. I did, you know, quite a few things that would help me manage the jump. I kept a few vacationers that were, you know, my favorites. And so I didn't 100% cut them off. I kind of weaned them down, you know, you know your criteria, who's your favorites. And so I did that for a while, and I still have one or two, you know, that I love to do. But it's not the daily grueling grind like it used to be.
So,
and I love it. And also, you know, the cat sitting business side of the business, it's so much easier to staff and train staff. Like, you know, cat sitting is not easier by any means, but the time schedules and working with cats is easier, you know, on the business end.
Have you heard of Time to Pet? Dan from NYC Pooch has this to say.
Time to Pet has been a total game changer for us. It helped us streamline many aspects of our operation, from scheduling and communication to billing and customer management. We actually tested other pet sitting softwares in the past, but these other solutions were clunky and riddled with problems. Everything in Time to Pet has been so well thought out. It's intuitive, feature-rich, and it's always improving.
If you're looking for new pet sitting software, give Time to Pet a try. Listeners of our show can save 50% off your first 3 months by visiting timetopet.com/confessional. And that's, again, like when you said, like, well, I was already kind of naturally saying no to these things. Like, that's a great sign. Like, if you, whoever listening going, oh yeah, I notice I'm getting a lot of calls for things and I'm not moving them through my process. Like, I'm not moving them on. Great sign to that. Maybe, maybe you need to take a step back and see what your priorities are actually today. Because if we haven't taken that time to do that self-assessment, sometimes we're like, huh, yeah, okay. I've actually kind of already done this transition because I was saying no to people for a while.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, you know, we really know the answer. Like you said, if you ask yourself, you don't want to know, like it's not just like a moment where, you know, one of my mentors or someone said, Shannon, really write down, what do you want to do? You know, I was like, well, I can tell you what I don't want to do anymore. Like, you can feel that in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and trusting yourself too. And really going, no, like this, I really need to listen to this part of me, because too often we don't. And we end up 5-10 years down the road with this regret or with this frustration or with this anger, because we allowed our clients, our community, you know, to dictate to us what we were supposed to do. And then we're sitting there running a business and doing this thing that we have no passion for. And we go, I'm out. I can't do this. I'm not here. Instead of going, no, I still have passion. It's buried somewhere in there. How do I dig that back out?
Yeah. You know, that really, hits me, because I have over the years met quite a few, you know, new pet sitters who don't last a year or two. And I do think some of it is that, you know, of course, you know, they may not realize, you know, how hard it was when they started, but at the same time, they did get into this for a reason. So maybe, you know, they didn't listen to that, you know, and adapt and find ways to adapt, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we hear it a lot from people who are getting started of, you know, it's frustrations with clients, frustrations with expectations, frustrations with the demands placed on them or all these things, and kind of pulling them off to the side and going, you know, you can say no to that, right? Like, you don't have to. That person sounds an absolute horrible person to work with. You don't have to. Like, it's okay. You know, so many times, I mean, I think over the last decade or so, when Megan and I were just starting out, of going, oh my gosh, if somebody would have just pulled us aside going, you don't have to be treated this way. Like, you don't, it's okay. How much more would we have progressed or like grown as individuals instead of our lives, again, being dictated by people who were going to offer us money and us going, oh, I guess that's what I have to do. Okay. Sure. Okay. And then just kind of being taken for a ride.
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny because my husband worked for many years in another service industry, completely different from pets, you know, and he never had the choice to say no.
Oh.
And so I did kind of hear that from him, you know, at nightly telling me about his day. And he had wonderful people that he met, but he also had the, you know, very challenging ones. And he would always say to me, be a woman, like, how could you say no to that? Like he just wouldn't get it. And I was like, well, why am I an entrepreneur doing this for myself? Why would I say yes to something that, you know, because I'm the owner, I have the choice. I have it within me and it's not worth it. And especially when you go through, you know, life-changing type crisis, you really realize that it's just not worth it at the end of the day. No amount of money is worth someone treating you that way in your happiness. Like, yes, we have to pay the bills, but you really have to draw the line, you know, for yourself and, you know, teach people how to treat you, really. You know, it very first thing incoming, if they call and leave me a nasty voicemail, I just had one this week. Like, no, I don't have to work for you. It goes both ways, right?
It does. It does. And knowing those signs of, well, this person contacted me 2 months ago asking for my services. Here's what we get a lot. I'll just, my example. We get people asked 2 months, you know, 2 months ago, they contacted us and then radio silence.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 3 days before they travel, they pop up and now they're demanding, well, I need to schedule that meet and greet and you need to send me those forms and you just, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's not how any of this works. Like, I haven't even decided if we want to work with you yet.
Yeah, I had one the other day. She says, I don't even have time for your forms or your things or your app or whatever you have. I don't have time for it. Just need you right now. I was like, I'm so sorry you're having an emergency, but it doesn't work that way for us, you know?
Yeah, and you know, that we do have to balance sometimes. And we've gotten feedback from some people who have said, I think you'd be a whole lot more successful if you didn't have all these hoops to jump through. And I said, well, these hoops are, you know, to not have working with you. But I didn't say that out loud. But it's like, we do have to make sure that our what we have is reasonable and we're not asking the moon of people and we have expectations set appropriately. But that onboarding process is so key for them, us to get to know their expectations and them get to know how we operate. And that reciprocal aspect is so often overlooked of asking yourself, by the time I'm conducting a service, does the client know what to expect from me and how I want to be treated? And just asking and going, if they don't, how do I make that happen?
Right. And you know, when I realized that was really what a contract or agreement is really doing, it's setting up those expectations, you know, and not just financially, but all the ways that we interact with one another. How do we communicate, you know, what is going to happen when you have an emergency or I have an emergency, you know, and really I find my clients, especially they read my agreement thoroughly. And I have a lot of senior clients and they love it. And they love knowing that it's so thorough. And I say, I'm sorry, it's kind of like buying a car. Like this is a long agreement here. Okay. But my ideal client loves that. They love that we're thorough and we've thought of everything, you know?
Yeah. I know we have ours sign it at the very kind of beginning of everything as they're coming in. And we've had questions from that of, well, I've never signed an agreement before as done service. It's like, well, this is actually kind of like my terms of service, my user agreement, if you want to think of it that way, of by operating with us, you agree to abide by these standards. And we want to make sure that you know those expectations. Cause I honestly don't want you to be a client if you're not okay with my cancellation policy. And I don't want you to be a client if you're not okay with my XYZ policies. You need to know what you're getting into because we are going to hold you to this. And we want to be fully transparent with that and just going, here's everything you'll need to know to work with us. if you're not okay with us, with this, we're probably not going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah, we do the same thing now too. You know, they get a chance to review that, you know, before we even move forward, you know, with any meeting. I used to back in the day, you know, before software, bring the paper thing. And you know, it was a lot of time wasted, I feel like, you know, and not in a bad way, anything negative if they didn't want to choose us. But it's nice to know up front, you know, how things are going to go and how is our relationship going to be, because this really is about relationships.
Mm-hmm. And reminding at the end of the day, it is a business relationship too. There mm-hmm. are boundaries that we need to have. You know, we care, we love deeply every single pet that we care for, that we take care of, and their clients as an extension of that. Mm-hmm. We do have business policies for a reason, to protect us and to protect our staff. And it is important to have those outlined so that, again, everybody is on the same page, because you're right. You don't want to be in a meet and greet or even after the fact with somebody not okay with something or you know, questioning these things. It's like, we just want all that out in the open, right up front, so that that relationship can be off on a good start.
Yeah, and I feel that's what makes our industry so special, is that we, you know, we have the business side of it and these policies and stuff, but at the same time, it's such a personal thing we're doing, caring for people's, you know, beloved babies. Like, you know, they intensely love their animals. Of course we do. So it's so much different than, you know, sitters will compare to, well, you know, the service guy that came from IAC didn't do this. You know, it's like, it's such a different, unique industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is. And there's a lot of education in that too, because mm-hmm. a lot of people do expect, well, I'm going to call you and you're just going to show up, right? Or I'm just going to do this thing and you're going to be okay with that, right? And it's mm-hmm. like, well, no, A, first we're operating with a business, and B, we've got some steps to jump through. So you wouldn't do this to a plumber or, you know, an HVAC or, you know, whatever other service. Like, you wouldn't do this to them. You don't do this to your car mechanic. Like, we are the same. And here's what we need to work through, to make sure that we are respected as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think it's one of the things I love about our industry the most, you know.
Well, and you also develop deep relationships. You mentioned it a couple times already of with local sitters and with local people in the pet care industry. You know, how do you go about fostering those? Because a lot of people are really, they get anxious. They get, that's my competition, or I don't know, what would I even talk about? Like, so when you think of that, Jen, like, how do you go about reaching out to these people?
Yeah, I felt that same way in the very beginning. I was so intimidated, and, you know, I'm not like a person that loves the phone and talking on the phone, especially to someone I've never met before. And I felt that they might feel I was competition when I was new, and or maybe I didn't live up to what great thing they were doing. So it wasn't until, maybe 10 years into my business that someone approached me and said they wanted a group of us to meet. And so, you know, I did that, and I met some sitters, and I found that, like, I jived with some of them and not with others. And, you know, that's okay. But I didn't get a close feeling from that network. You know, we were great. We referred to each other, but we didn't have that deeper connection. And after my husband's health crisis, I felt like I needed that, like, to get away for myself. So what I did was I contacted three of the sitters that I kind of was closer to and would occasionally call, and I asked them to meet me for lunch. And we just, all of us just really got along so well and really had a lot of the same core values for ourselves, our lives, and the way we ran our businesses, that we developed a really close connection. And we kept meeting, and, you know, sometimes one or more of us would just meet alone. Sometimes it would be all four of us, and we would have a blast and have some margaritas, you know. And it developed to let's go kayaking together. So we started doing fun things together that was outside of, you know, pet sitting. And we really created this bond that was so tight. And I found that it was the missing puzzle piece to not only my business, but to my life. Pet sitters understand each other like no other person really can. My husband doesn't understand what I do. My family, they love it and they think it's great, but they can't understand it like another pet sitter. And when you can find, you know, even if it's just one other person in your community that you can meet for coffee, meet for lunch, and build that connection, it is life-changing. And I'm, as you can probably tell, I'm really passionate about this now, because I loved my business before, but I love all pet sitters. I love everything about it so much more. And now a few of us have introduced other sitters that kind of are newer to pet sitting. And now we have several newbies that join us, and we're able to mentor them and have a good time. We just get so much from it. And I encourage everybody to keep trying. I know initially, like, you might meet some sitters that, you know, you don't really, you know, get along with, or, you know, you might have different ideas that you're running your businesses, but keep trying, because once you find, you know, those people who you can get that extra level of friendship and connection with, it will change everything for you. So we tried at a few different types of themes for our get-togethers in the beginning. It wasn't all smooth sailing. You know, a few of them would say, oh, we're not going to get together just to, like, complain, right?
Yeah.
You know, because we know how that goes. And so when I say we all had similar values, it would be like, you know, we weren't gossips. You know, we weren't there to talk about other sitters who weren't there. We weren't there to complain about, you know, we were there to talk about, oh, I had this dog that did this, or, you know, this cat visit was difficult, and kind of more of a positive, uplifting mindset with one another. And so that just kept continuing, and we found we all loved it. And you know how people say, well, I can't ever get my network together. When you have this kind of network that's uplifting and supportive and on that friendship level, they make time to get together. Like, it becomes a priority in our schedules because we really look forward to it.
Oh, well, it's just a difference of two things there. I mean, people get frustrated by the group because all it is at its roots is a referral network, which mm-hmm. is different than a friend group. And I mm-hmm. think that that's the distinction that you're making there, Shannon, of, look, you can have a big network of people who you know in the industry, who are in your local area, who you refer out to. But who's your core group? Who are the friends that you're making in the industry that you're connected to, that you can help each other grow, and that you can really feed into their life and be fed into yours through whatever, like through stories, through that uplifting nature, having that. Hey, when we meet, this is the purpose, to be uplifting. How beautiful is that? How wonderful to have that kind of guiding principle with this. This group is, we want to support one another. Referrals or no referrals, look, we'll put that off to the side. Maybe those will come, maybe not. We need to help one another here. And that's, you know, when we understand that difference of, what am I looking for? Am I just looking for a bunch of referrals, or am I looking for a core group of people to get connected to and grow with year after year?
Yeah. And, you know, it's really, I find the only way to do it, you know, we are 100% about, like, camaraderie and friendship and helping one another. And, you know, talk about having the know-how now. Like, if I have another crisis, one of them is going to show up for my business and yeah. is going to help me through that. And the other thing too is, it benefits our clients in ways I hadn't imagined. We now tell our clients about, well, of course we tell our clients about our network, and we're part of this network, and we love each other, because often our clients are scared to be like, oh, I use that other pet sitter, should I tell her? You know? And so we tell our clients, look, get set up with at least two of us. And let us be each other's backup. We're not out to steal each other's clients or anything. Like, I know if I have this other, you know, client that she's primarily Amy's client, but she calls me if she needs a backup. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, I'd rather that than her trying to deal with, you know, a neighbor or a hobby sitter who might not be reliable. So our clients really appreciate it. And not only that is, you know, it just happened to turn out that we covered different areas of town. Mm. So we have some overlap, but that's wonderful. But also now it also gave me the ability to switch to cats because I know I have them to refer the dogs to, you know, the vacation dogs. And I know our community has that support that they can support the vacation dog sitting clients. And I can move into that role of the cat sitter, you know.
Our friends at Pet Perennials make it easy to send a heartfelt condolence gift directly to someone with a broken heart. They have this awesome direct-to-consumer gift model that takes the effort off of us and ensures a thoughtful, personalized, simply gift reaches your client or employee on your behalf. All packages include a handwritten card, colorful gift wrap, and shipping fees across the U.S. and Canada. They also offer an array of milestone gifts and greeting cards that can be sent to celebrate birthdays, extend get well wishes, and welcome new and rescued pets. Additionally, there are gift choices in case you need to send a Simply gift in memory of a special human client, or celebrate a pregnancy, engagement, or wedding of a pet lover. If you're interested, register for a free business gift perks account to unlock the all-inclusive discounted package prices. Since the service is used on an as-need basis, there are no monthly or annual obligations or minimum purchase. Learn more today at petperennials.com. Check out their business programs or register for that free gift perks account by using the link in the show notes. It's that bigger picture thinking, Shannon, of what's the community needs here? Because at that level, what you're really thinking about is, well, because we do get concerned a lot of, well, I don't want to say no to this person because then what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, abuse their dog? Or they, you know, our brains go to the most terrible place if we don't say yes to it. Like, again, I've been there. And so to go, look, this isn't a good fit for me. I know that I should not be going this direction at all. Do I know somebody who is a good fit? If yes. Now we are helping them in the communities better. And then it's also allowing us to take our business and mold it into a niche that's not being filled just naturally of, look, this person's over here doing this. This person's over here doing this. And look, here I am doing my thing. And it's just kind of this natural envelopment of everybody's time and talents and efforts that are contributing to the betterment of pet parents where we live.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, we the four of us did this called Ocala Pet Palooza, like this big pet, you know, event. Uh-huh. And in past years, we had done it separately as our businesses, and we didn't really enjoy it or find, you know, too much value in going to one of these big events. Well, once our network started going, I said, what if we all did a booth together? And so we created like a network name for ourselves, and we did this booth, and we all got together and like shared filling up raffle baskets and put all of our goodies out. And whenever people from the community came to our booth, I was like, oh, you want to meet Amy? You want to meet Dana? There's going to help you better than I could. And people really loved it. And we had the best time, you know, doing that, but it was such a great feeling to do it together, you know, versus, I don't know, there was just something so beautiful about it. And you could tell that people that were walking by our booth and talking to us were really surprised that this kind of thing was going on.
Yeah. Well, they don't, because it is unusual in the business world to see quote unquote competitors again, because that's what people see from the outside. They think those are competitors. Mm-hmm. Why would they help one another? What is going on? You don't see this happening in HVAC or in yard work or in anything like that, or you know, car sales or home. Nobody does this. And what it really is communicating is we are stronger together and we are here to help you. And that level of genuineness is picked up by clients and the community. We wonder, oh, because I mean, the consumers these days can smell out a fake, mm-hmm. you know, compliment a mile away. Like they are so discerning. But to have that genuine community and camaraderie together, like that is noticeable and actually impacts people just by being there.
Yeah, I really felt that at the event. And, you know, because of that event, and, you know, I was sharing it on our social media and stuff, you know, the board directors of the Florida Pet Services Association contacted me. And they were like, we love what you're doing. This is what we're all about. We want you, you know, to join us. So like, it really, you know, opened up a whole new world for me. And my network, because our network now is kind of growing into that services association and taking on, you know, our ideals matched there, you know, as far as educating and, you know, the public and all these things. So it's been just such a wonderful thing that's come out of this just group of a couple of pet sitters getting together.
it's really cool to watch and see as you guys, you know, work in that and know how and collaborate with one another. I know people throw that out there a lot of times. It can be like, well, what does that mean? Like, how does this work effort? And it's things like, well, have you ever been frustrated how you never feel like your clients understand what you do? Well, imagine if every other pet sitter and dog walking company in your community were posting about what they do, right? These community efforts to educate, uplift, and raise the bar on professionalism too. Of, you know, have you ever been frustrated by your clients not understanding why you have a contract? Well, if every other person that they contacted also has a contract, it'd kind of become the norm for them, and you wouldn't be the one sticking way out there, right?
It's so true. And, you know, that has what we've all seen come out of it, is that it's growing from that. And, you know, even people from the event who weren't necessarily looking for pet care or anything, you know, they were educated on, you know, what was going on in the community and were impressed enough about it that we've gotten referrals from lots of those people that said, we saw you there, or we saw your networks doing this. You know, so it's just reached so many, many more people in our community. You know, I love it.
Well, and you said as part of that, again, this sounds like a big process of reaching out to people, developing your community, your network, your support group, growing out your team, specializing in your services as you've curtailed their business to fit how, you know, your life and what's going on. Part of that too, you've added some luxury services, and I did want to pick your brain on these because I was surprised and was really excited to see these on your website.
Oh, thanks. So I started just thinking about what my clients' needs were and ways that I could, you know, add some more unique services, especially to my cat clients. You know, I'm going cat, so what can I think of? And one of the biggest things I thought of was, we deal with a lot of shy cats, right? You know, they'll hide, and a lot of our clients have cameras, but the cameras are not necessarily pointed at the cat's food or the cat's litter box. So yeah, they might have, you'll say, oh, I, you know, did I see Ozzy cat? Yeah, I saw him. He's alive on the camera. But me as a pet sitter, I want to know, well, did he drink water? Yeah. You know, is he stressed? You know, I could maybe see him underneath the bed, get a flash of the eyes, but, you know, is he really okay?
Yeah.
And so what I thought of was doing this kitty cam rental thing where I would set up my own Wi-Fi camera, point it directly at their food and water area, or the litter box if you have litter box concerns, or both. And, you know, I tested it out with a few shy cat households, and it worked perfectly. The minute I walked outside to my car, yeah, Here comes the motion camera right on my phone, the cat, like, and I get this quick little video, and it works so wonderfully. I was like, oh, wow. So it gave me maybe more peace of mind than some of the clients. I have found that our clients are interested in this kind of unique service, right? We're always trying to find ways to be kind of different, you know?
Yeah.
So That was one. And then, of course, my network's like, what's that, Shannon? What are you doing over there? <You know? laughs> So that's what I call kind of like a luxury add-on, you know. And we have a litter box service where we come. It's much like the pooper scooper for outside the yard, only we're doing it for their litter boxes. And we do a full sanitation. And we have, you know, our ideal clients are mostly seniors. So for, you know, maybe their back hurts and they can't scoop the litter box, or they can't really lift all that heavy litter to do a full clean out, you know, stuff like that. And then I have this live-in care that I started doing. And that's thanks to Amy over in my network. She started doing it for some high-end clients that have hobby farms and things like this. And I never would do overnights before because when I started, my kids were young. So I just wasn't doing overnight. But now that my kids are grown and I have grandkids and, you know, it's just me now, I'm like, well, I could do live-in service and run my team from there. So that's kind of, I tried that out with a, you know, a wonderful client, and it worked so well. I felt that for us, the live-in service is 20 hours. So we have 4 hours in a day where we can leave. If I need to run an errand, or I'll actually come visit my dog and my cat and my husband. And, you know, if I need to do one or two visits, I can. Sure. So you have that freedom. But I basically live out of their home, and I find that now I'm enjoying it better, because I can just relax without all the driving.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and, you know, I'm very picky about, you know, who I'll do it, because scheduling, you know, I don't want too many of them where they'll overlap, because I want to be able to say yes. Yeah. And it's only myself doing it. I don't at this time have a team doing it. That's a whole nother issue as far as like paying, you know, hourly and all that. But, we'll see if that comes in the future. But from now, it's working wonderfully, because I find I can manage my team from there. And it's kind of like a little vacation away from home when I go.
You have that flexibility now in your life, like you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, of, well, you know, yes, your personal life has changed, you know, with not having kids in the home. Mm-hmm. Also, your business has changed, where you're not doing the vacation visits on top of now the live-in service. And now you're stretched between those two, and it's way more complicated. So now you can go, what would I actually make this look like? And what would I want to do? And what would work for me? And I'm sure it's not an inexpensive service, so it's not for every client either, but it is an option for those who want that.
Yeah. And what I'll say to it is just, you know, just because you said no to some type of service in the past, maybe rethink it and revisit it. You know, don't be afraid to change and adapt as, mm-hmm. you know, your life or your circumstances change in some way. You know, we really have to be open to doing that, or else, you know, we could just get stuck in a rut, or, you know, not have the same income potential.
Right. Well, and I want to go back to the kitty cam real quick, because I love that idea, because yeah, there are times where it's like, well, there's no food here, and there's pee, and there's defecation in the litter box. So yeah, cat's fine. It's doing that stuff. Other than that, I can't speak to this. And yeah, a lot of clients, because many people will think, well, my clients have cameras inside anyway. But like you mentioned, I love how you said, they're not pointed right at the food, right? They're not sitting right outside the litter box. Think of it. It sounds like it's really kind of like a trail cam, right? For the yes. people who try to see it's like yes. your kitty trail cam. Yes. And but people love that. Like, they want to see that. And for, like you mentioned too, like, we also are like, okay, cat's doing great and we're fine. And, but to share that with the client, to give them access to that, where they can now interact in that real time way. Really, I mean, that's a lot of peace of mind off of that, especially if they're going to be gone for a long time.
Yes. And, you know, the majority of the ones I was really concerned about is our clients that have two cats. One is super social, the other was shy. You know, we can kind of judge how much food's eating, but we don't know which one went to the bathroom. We don't know how much one ate. And really, with cats, we really want to make sure they're at least drinking water. Yeah. So, you know, that is a big concern for me. And So our clients are loving it. And even, you know, the cameras are inexpensive these days. Super easy to just plug in and set up their Wi-Fi. The only thing you need is the client's Wi-Fi. And it's on an app. And the clients can have access to the live link of the video if they want. And we're setting it up and taking it away so they don't have to bother with it. Yeah. Like it's kind of a win-win for everybody. You know, and that, and I love that you call it the kitty trail cam. It totally is.
I had that realization the other day while we were looking for some cats in a home of this is so weird. I'm in a home and I'm like searching for a wild animal hidden who knows where. And it's like, no other job would allow me to do this. And, you know, crawling around and peeking under and lifting things. I'm like just waiting to see a little bit of fur and tail dart around a corner. It's like, I really am on a safari.
It's so, so crazy, you know, and I think also coming with so much experience too, I've had so many situations where there was either a cat emergency, you know, I might've noticed a behavior change in a cat that was super social, but a shy cat, I can't notice the behavior change because the behavior is we're hiding.
Right.
And we're hiding. That's all we're doing. And I had a client one time who went on, you know, a weekend trip just a few hours away to another town. And they had four cats. One of them would sometimes peek out at us, but usually wouldn't. And I asked them, are you sure all the cats are in the house? Because when they were home, I think they would let them out like through a patio door or their little pond area. And the husband overnight got so worried that I couldn't find the cat. I searched everywhere, high and low. And it was a big house. And I mean, I could not find this cat. He drove home in the middle of the night to make sure his cat was in the house and okay. And wasn't, you know, trapped somewhere. So I kind of felt bad that that happened. I didn't want to worry them, but, you know, thankfully they were a distance where he could drive home. But if I had had that camera set up, yeah, I would have seen the cat probably the minute I left, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so, and they told me he was hiding in the stairs that go up the bed, but it was like this large wooden one and he could get inside the staircase.
Of course.
I would have never looked inside a built-in like staircase thing. No. So I was like, okay, that cat is a genius. But it's just coming out of these type of like crazy situations where like this simple technology could really solve some of these things, you know?
Well, and that's what it's about, of going, and I love where that landed when you were telling that, because we are adapting in our business as things become more accessible. You know, 18 years ago, those cameras weren't really there, right? You could, mm-hmm. They were so cost prohibitive and so weird, and people didn't have Wi-Fi and all this stuff. Now they do. So how do we integrate that into our business? And then how do I change and adapt my business as I change and my needs change? And it is about a continual process of growing and learning. And you do that by getting plugged in to people in your network. And staying engaged and listening to your clients and asking good questions and being open to learn. Because that's what's really hard, is we get stuck in our ways. We don't want to do it. It's hard. But if we don't, we're not going to be around next year or the year after that.
Yeah. Oh, that's just so wonderful, isn't it? I just love that.
Well, and Shannon, I really, really appreciate your time today and sharing with us your story and encouraging us to change, to adapt, that it's not just necessary, but it's a good thing. And we should embrace that. For those who want to get connected with you, follow along with everything, maybe pick your brain on the kitty trail cams or whatever thing else that you've got going on, how best can they do that?
Oh, love it. I'd love for people to connect with me. So I am Shannon Hendon on Facebook, and that's linked to my Ocala Pet Sitting Facebook. So you can find me on there. And that's OCALAPETSITTING on Facebook and Instagram. Cool. So yeah, come find me. I'd love to talk to any of you.
Well, I will have those links in the show notes so people can get connected with you right away, Shannon. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Carl. Colin. I had such a wonderful time. Have a wonderful day.
My biggest takeaway from my conversation with Shannon is when she said, you really have to draw a line for yourself and teach people how to treat you, especially when you are going through a crisis. Nobody knows how you need to be treated in that moment. Nobody knows what your personal life is throwing at you and the struggles that you are going through. Take a breath and tell people what you're needing in that moment. It's okay. Those who respect that are those you need to keep close. Those who don't are the ones you need to consider cutting out. Because if we don't teach people what we're needing there, how we need to be treated, they'll never know and will continue to be frustrated. We want to thank today's sponsors, Time to Pet and Pet Perennials, for making this show possible. And we really want to thank you for listening. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll be back again soon. I'm sorry.